Live from Music Row in Nashville, this is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
Good morning, Roy Mathock Jr. here, and this show today is going to be one of those shows that you're going to really, I think you can take notes and make it happen in a way that will help you with your finances, you know, to get moving. And the show topic is four fundamentals about money that you have to master regardless of your income. You know, one of the things that I always do is I tell people, you know, you got to raise your income. You always got to raise your income, and you always got to be focusing on raising your income because things cost more money and you don't want to get caught up with your income, you know, not keeping up with inflation. But at the same time, I don't care how much money you make, you can go through all of it. I mean, we, you know, perfect example, we can look back at Evander Holyfield, who the boxer, and I think he went through $900 million, something like that. I mean, can you imagine going through $900 million, say, hey, I ran out of money. I made $900 million and I'm broke. And so you hear that all the time. You hear people with the lottery, they do that kind of thing. And then the next thing you know, they're broke. And so today, this is four fundamentals about money that you got to master regardless of your income. I don't care how much money you're making this morning, you got to master it. You got to master these four. The first one is a cash flow plan or a budget. The second one is you have to have an emergency amount of cash that allows you to keep yourself afloat because things do happen. The third thing we're going to talk about is control and eliminate debt. And then we're going to go through and do a review on all the right insurance that you should be spending money on, all the stuff that you shouldn't be spending money on. You know, when you start thinking about this kind of stuff, you say, well, a budget, all right, a budget. Man, what about a budget? Well, a budget allows you to put yourself in a position to where every single month you're confident that you make a profit. Now, what is a profit? A profit means that you work, and when you get done with that month, you have money left over. It's like a business. You have your own personal family business. And the key to that personal family business is that you spend less than you make and you get a profit out of it. Otherwise, all you're doing is just running your wheels, spinning your wheels, and you're not getting where you need to be. So the first one is that cash flow plan or a budget. The second one is the emergency fund. Here's what I always would tell people when it comes to your money. You always want to have cash in your pocket, be broke in your checking account. Now, what do I mean by cash in your pocket and broke in your checking account? See, if you're broke in your pocket, you don't have any money on you. You don't have any abilities, you know, to get money. You're at a point where your debit card is zero, if that's the way you do it. I like still having cash in my pocket. I have cash in my pocket right now. But if you do that, it's hard on your attitude, especially to wake up every day and you're worried. And so what we're going to do is show you how, number two, to develop a good emergency fund. Now, if you have questions, I want to tell you this. Today is the last day of the Nashville Home Show. If you're in the Nashville local area, you can come attend the home show and come as my guest and receive half off your ticket price. It's downtown at the Music City Center. We've got a booth there. We'll answer any of your questions along with 200 other booths. I was over there a couple days ago, and the place is cool. I had great lunch over there, so come over there, have lunch. But the promo code is Roy Mathock, and if you just put that in when you go to my website, roymathockjr.com, put in Roy Mathock promo code, you get half off. It's some family stuff in there, also some cool things about your home. The third part of mastering money is control and eliminate debt. We're going to go through, I'm going to detail to you the difference in what is good debt and bad debt, how to go about eliminating debt, the order in which you should go about eliminating debt. It doesn't mean debt is always bad. You know, the biggest companies out there on the planet, you know, that are the most stable companies out there, they issue bonds. And the reason they issue bonds is because of the fact that they borrow money in order to expand. So there's good debt and there's bad debt. Last thing is buy the right insurance. Now, when we start looking at all the insurances that you can purchase, it's amazing to me. You know, now, you know, you got pet insurance. I mean, you've got rental car insurance. You've got insurance to protect you if you lose your phone. You've got extended warranties, which is nothing more than insurance. All these different insurances. You got cancer insurance. You've got long-term, you got disability insurance. You got the good insurance, bad insurance. We're going to talk about that. And so today's going to be an interesting show to help you do all that kind of stuff. When we come back, what I want you to do in between now and the time we come back, I want you to go to the website, RoyMatlockJr.com, and download the budget forms. We're going to be going through the budget forms. These budget forms are going to help you get started. It's going to take you, once you listen in today, if you'll spend about 2 hours, 2 hours to get yourself straightened out. It's been years to get yourself where you're at. We're going to give, I'm going to give you a plan, a two-hour plan to be able to get straightened out and get your budget set up to start with. So our first detailed segment is going to be the budget and the emergency fund. Then we're going to get into the controlling and eliminating debt and buying the right insurance. So go to RoyMatlockJr.com, and what we're going to do is get that budget form going and get you started in the right direction on that. So and download that form. It'll be a good form for you that you can always work on. May want to print it off and as we go through this kind of stuff. But guys, what happens in money? Money is one of those things that no one gets taught how to use it. We earn it. We don't know where to end up with it. And so once we start moving along and we are out there in our life and there's so many great things that we can purchase and spend and things like that, before you know it, you look back and you say, man, I wish I had done something sooner. You know, our goal is we can't wait to get out of school in order to get started in our job. And then we find out, we say, well, hold on a second. I want to quit my job. I want to quit. I want to live my life. I want to do those kind of things. And so how do you go about doing that? You go about doing that by getting yourself in a position to where your income and your outgo, there's a gap, and then we save the gap. The gap is called the quality of life gap. If your income is up and your expenses are stable, then you have a gap. If your income is flat and you cut expenses, you have a gap. So what we want to do is start thinking about how do we get our income up, get our expenses down, create that quality of life gap, which will allow us one day to move into a position where we have what we call do-nothing money. What is do-nothing money? It's called making money while you sleep. You know, my whole goal when I have been in my financial business, been doing this for 35 years, I've always told people we want to find that FIN number. What is the FIN number? It's that financial independence number. Financial independence number. That financial independence number is the number that you need to have set aside in order to be able to have an unlimited lifetime income. It never runs out. So it's not unlimited in the amount, but unlimited where you never have to worry about it, you know, going away or anything like that. And so we do that by developing the four fundamentals. So with that being said, we're going to get into a break in just a second. And then when we come back, I want you to make sure to download the forms, the budget forms. These budget forms are on RoyMatlockJr.com. We're going to start, we're going to go into looking at variable expenses and fixed expenses, and we're going to couple those variable expenses with the fixed expenses and come up with, you know, the whole idea behind your cash flow planning is we want to have fixed expenses. All right, if we have fixed income, but we want to have variable expenses if we have variable income, and we need to combine that up. So download the forms. I'll be right back. We're going to have a great show today.
Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr., if you're just tuning in, I want to encourage you to download the budget forms. We're going to talk right now about how to set a budget up. They're at roymatlockjr.com. And in the show topic today, four things you have to master with your money if you're going to get ahead, no matter how much income you make. And so with that being said, let's start with the forms. You know, if you've got those budget forms out, one of the things we're going to do to begin with is we're going to come up with our balance sheet. Our balance sheet, as you go through here, you're going to be able to list all on these forms. You're going to list your liabilities. And when you look at your liabilities, you're going to find out that, you know, you've got some different things in there that you need to probably consider doing something with. We got our assets and our liabilities. And so we want to look down at this liability page, debt payments, all those kind of things. This could be credit cards, mortgages, all that kind of stuff. So you want to make sure as you go through, look at the things that you owe on. And so we're going to come up with a net worth. Now, I don't include in the net worth generally your equity in your house. Now, initially, you start doing that. But as you get to retirement, you'll find out people that are retired, they got their house paid for, they may have a $300,000 house, something like that. They really can't use that for income. What we want to do is convert our assets into income when we retire. We want to get to a point where our financial independence number is made up of our income that comes in every month that we know that we can count on. So we say I need 80 grand a year, you know, do nothing money. So I need to have maybe, 15 to 20 times that saved, and then that's going to do that. But it doesn't have anything to do with your home mortgage. Now, when you first get started, you may, especially in some markets, may have been lucky enough to buy a house, and it really appreciated in value and stuff like that, and that's great. You know, but the appreciation in value on your home doesn't give you income. It gives you maybe higher property taxes, that kind of thing. So what we want to do is do that, okay? Then what we're going to do after that is we're going to make a list, and we're going to go through this. We're going to look at all of the different things that we spend money on. I mean, the mortgage, the taxes, insurance. We're going to estimate repairs. We're going to go through and do every single thing that's on there. So number one, we get a balance sheet. Number two, we go through and we list all this. Now, guys, one of the ways you go about doing this, you go into your checkbook, you go to your bank account, you go pull all this kind of stuff up, and you start looking at it. And then we're going to find out how much of this expense that we have going on is fixed, and we're going to find out how much of it is variable. So to give an example, if you went out to dinner last night, that's variable money, but your house payment is fixed. So we want to come up with that. We want to come up with our fixed cost of doing life. And what I mean by our fixed cost, not anything that you can do without. You're going to have to eat, but where you eat out changes. So anyway, so we go through this whole thing, you know, and you think about it. So, well, hang on a second. You said this is for anybody, okay? I don't care how much money you make. You realize, guys, if you go into a restaurant, they have $1,000 bottles of wine. So if you're making a lot of money and you want to go broke, you can drink a $1,000 bottle of wine. I mean, it's everywhere. So it doesn't matter. There's expensive hotels. There's Motel 6 on vacation, and then there's the Ritz-Carlton or even more than that. And so no matter what you make, okay, you got to come up with it. So then what we do, we come up with our fixed expenses and our variable expenses. And what you might want to do is pull this, when you print the sheet out, what you're going to do is maybe go in there and highlight them. So, okay, these are my fixed, these are my variable, and then we're going to add it all up. We're going to come up with that. Then once we do that, we're going to start looking and we're going to say, okay, here's our income. This is what we've made. This is our outgo so far this year. What's going on? How have we done? So what we do is we say, well, we've made this much money this year, and we've spent $10,000 more than we brought in. Not a good plan. So what we then do is we start, number three, is fire everybody and everything. All right, how about that? Everybody and everything. We're going to go in there, we're going to say, you know what, we're firing everybody. We're not, hey, I don't like this cable company. I don't like this cell phone company. I don't even like the mortgage pay. I don't like anything about what I'm spending money on. I'm going to clean the slate. I'm going to fire everybody. I'm going to get rid of everything. Now, realistically, you can't get rid of everything right now. So then what we're going to do is we're going to look at every single line item, and we're going to rehire, okay, those people. or that company, whatever it may be. We're going to rehire the mortgage payment. Now, we may say, though, that mortgage payment, I don't like that. They're going to go. It's right now, I can't do nothing about it. But I'm going to get a plan to fire that when it's too big. I'm going to fire the car payment. I'm going to fire everything. I'm going to get rid of all of it. But I'm going to slowly rehire back these services. I'm going to come back. I'm going to rehire the cable company, except I'm going to get rid of all that extra stuff. I'm going to rehire the car, but I'm going to get rid of the expensive car, sell it, get me a lesser expensive car. I'm going to rehire all of these things. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick to it. Now, how am I going to stick to it? Well, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a quick little how-to. All right, so how do we manage monthly? All right, so you can write this down, but this is how we manage monthly. We manage monthly by going out and developing a system. And the first system is this. Our fixed accounts, 100% of our income rolls into what I call a draft account at your bank. So what does your draft account include? All income, all sources of income goes into one place. That is your draft account. Now, we're going to hire back who we're hiring back, and we're going to automate all of the fixed expenses, and we're going to put it onto online banking. All right, it'll take you a little bit of time to do that. Put it on online banking, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to take that, and you're going to automatically have it paid. So you don't have to worry about it. I would recommend if you have electricity and all that stuff, you can just get it on a budget plan or it's the same every month. And then what's going to happen is it's going to get drafted out every single month. All right, you're going to get your savings is going to go in there. Your emergency fund is going to go in there. The emergency fund, I'm not going to get in a lot of detail today, but you need 3 months of income set aside in strictly something safe and secure that you can get to at maybe even 6 months, depending on if you're a single income earner. Okay, then what happens is all of that money goes in there. We're going to draft our investment accounts. We're going to draft everything we have. If we have extra money, okay, if we're trying to get out of debt, we're going to get into that on the next segment. I'll show you how to do that, but we're going to draft for future purchases, all right? And it's going to go into a savings account, or it's just going to stay in this draft account because you've budgeted that future purchase. That way you don't have debt later, car payments, etc. We're going to pay all those expenses. Then we're going to come up with our personal weekly spending account. What is that? So let's say that you and your spouse, all right, have come up with a budget. You sit down with it, and you find out that to stay within budget, you've got $300 a week left over. And if you got $300 a week each, whatever it is, $200 a week each, one of you have your own checking account. That then on Sunday night, that money gets moved in there. And whatever it is, it may be, I don't care what you make, it's got to be inside of the framework of spending less than you make. So let's say it's $1,000 a week that you pull out, whatever, it makes no difference. And what you do is you put that money every Sunday night in there. Then what I would recommend you do is tell the bank every single day, go to on your online bank and say, send me a text message or an email showing my what I've got left in that account. If I need cash, I go to the ATM, I pull it out of there. But I'm not managing my whole paycheck. I'm just managing just a little bit of my paycheck. I'm managing about 10% of my money each week. The rest of it's already accounted for. And so what I'm doing is I'm managing that. I pull that out. And then at the end of the week, I look, and if it's Saturday and I'm like, man, I'm out of money. I've been blowing it out at the beginning of the week. I'm going to stay home, and then I'm going to survive till Sunday night. And then on Sunday night, I'm going to get my money moved over again, and I'm going to go from there. So let's just say you had a $500 a week budget, and that was the case. What you would do then is at the end of on Sunday, you would put $500 in. Now, at the end of the week, if you've got $50 left over, you might say, well, I'm going to cut back a little bit, and I'm only going to put $450, and I'm going to have an additional $50 a week that's going into this savings thing. And, guys, it doesn't matter how much money you make. The bottom line is if you're spending more than you make, that creates debt. And so what we're going to do, we're going to continue talking. If you're just tuning in, right now, we're talking about the four key elements that everyone has to know to master money. And when we come back, I want you to go to roymatlockjr.com. I want you to download How Money Works. We're going to go to the Get Out of Debt section. That's what's coming up next. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Business Hour with Roy Mappock Jr.
Jr. here, and we are on our third segment today. And if you're just tuning in, four fundamentals of money that you gotta understand, regardless of how much money that you make. And this segment is going to be a segment on getting out of debt. And getting out of debt is like the third fundamental. Number one is a budget. Number two is having emergency money so you don't go backwards. Number three is a plan to get out of debt. And you get in debt over an extended period of time, you get out of debt much quicker. So if you're struggling right now, I can tell you that you can get out a lot quicker than you got in. So the first question is this: should you be worried about your debt? That's the first question. You always got to ask yourself, hey, just because you have a lot of debt doesn't mean that you should be worried. All right. Now if you have a lot of debt that's what I call bad debt, that doesn't make any sense. But if you have debt and the first question is should you be worried? Well, the first answer to this question is, are you paying all of your bills on time? I mean, you should be worried if you're having trouble paying the bills every month. That's a reason to be concerned. But should you be worried because you have a lot of debt? Absolutely not. This is, I'm not in the debt marketing business. But then again, I'm not in the debt elimination business. I'm in the financial independence business, and that business is help you get financial independent. Does that mean that you need to do dumb things and borrow money doing dumb things? No. But does it mean that at all cost, you got to get your house paid off? Absolutely not. I disagree with that totally. What you want to do is you want to have, there's good debt and bad debt. So let's talk about what is good debt and what's bad debt. Well, good debt has an asset that is an appreciating asset tied to it, all right? So let me give you an example. If you buy a home that you can afford, remember, you got to ask the question, should you be worried? Now, if you're buying a house that you can't afford and you're worried about paying the bills, that takes it into a different level. But if you buy a home that is reasonably priced for your income, you are financing an asset that is appreciating. So what's happening is the home value is going up, you're paying on it, paying it down. So for instance, I bought a house not too long ago and I put a 15-year mortgage on it because the interest rate was cheaper to do it that way. So that home goes up in value, the debt goes down, I create a gap. The whole idea behind your financial independence is the gap between your income and your outgo. Well, if you're creating assets and you're increasing assets, you're moving in the right directions. That's good debt. What's other good debt? Well, what about business debt? I have people all along, they buy new equipment and they ask me, hey, should I do this? And then, they can buy that equipment right off the bat and finance that equipment right off the bat and put that equipment into use. And then the next thing you know, they're making a profit off of borrowing money. The reason businesses borrow money is to make a profit. So if you own a business, keep in mind, you got to cover your debt payment. Businesses get in trouble. And when they get in trouble, it's because they're overextended. But is that a bad debt to go out and buy equipment to improve your business? No, I think it's a good debt. Invest in your business. Okay, sometimes borrowing is a smarter plan for you. So good debt is debt that has something appreciating behind it. That's the first thing you got to realize. Now, what is bad debt? Well, bad debt has stuff that depreciates behind it. So you've got good debt, it appreciates. All debt, you have to be able to cover your debt service or it's bad debt. But if, in fact, you can easily cover your debt service, you're not overextended, then there's good debt and bad debt. So remember this, good debt is debt that appreciates, okay, the underlying asset that you finance. Bad debt is things that go down in value. What would be the number one mistake I see with people getting started? They have car debt, and they have expensive cars that depreciate in value, and as a result of that, that starts the problem. Now, does that mean that causes the credit card debt? Not all the time, but in many cases, the cars cost way more than people expect. The more expensive the car, the more expensive the upkeep, the more expensive the insurance, the more expensive everything, the repairs, all that kind of stuff. And so cars start it, then it becomes credit card, then it becomes other things. So what we want to do is we want, number two, is to determine good debt versus bad debt. We want to eliminate bad debt. So how do you eliminate bad debt? You start cutting back on things that you, first off, you don't spend money on bad debt. You don't finance things on your credit card, stuff like that. The third key to getting out of debt is to find money to pay down the bad debt. Now, how do you find money? Well, we go back to our budget. We cut cost. We fire everybody. We do that. And then the other thing we do is we take that debt and apply additional money to it. So now what happens is this. If you have no cash flow between get to work, okay, if there's no extra money, get a part-time job, go make some extra money, go apply $1,000 a month to your debt. Now, if you're in the How Money Works book and it says pay off debt, I'm going to give you a couple of things about debt that really mess people up. You got to fix the payment because a revolving payment will take you basically forever to get out of debt. Let me give you an example. So let's say you've got $17,000 of debt at 18% and you pay $595 a month the first month and then you pay minimum payments after that. At 18%, you will pay off in 17 years and 2 months and pay $12,500 in interest. So what happens is you just say whatever they say, just go ahead and pay the minimum payment. They send it to you. Every month they refinance it for you. Now, if you take that $595 a month and you automate it fixed, you go in there and you say, what's the minimum payment? And then you set it up automatically to pay that bill. You can do that on your online banking, or you can do it with a credit card company and say, I want to automate this amount of money every month. So I want to pay $595 a month, not as a revolving, but as a fixed, same interest rate. The difference is you're out of debt in 3 years and 2 months versus 17 years and 2 months. Did you hear that? Same amount of money, $17,000, 18%. If you pay it as a revolving debt, paying minimum payments, 17 years and 2 months, $12,500 in interest. Fixed debt, levelize the payment, set it up, $595 a month. You're out in 3 years and 2 months, pay $5,300 in interest, save $7,000 in interest, paying the same monthly payment you paid this month, just pay it on a regular basis. So what we want to do is we want to make sure and understand the way the system works. So we find money to pay the debt down and we automate it. Number four, we do an order of attack on the debt. So when we want to get out of debt, first off, we're going to focus on the things that we can do something quick with, and that's two types of debt. The first one is the smallest credit card debt. That's one. So if we have a small credit card debt, let's get it paid off right off the bat and apply that over to the next one. The other one is that we can go in and get what we used to call a money game car. And, you know, back in the days when I was on the money game, we had a bumper sticker called money game car. So let me give you an example of what a money game car was. It was a paid for car. It was a junker. It didn't matter. Okay. It got you from point A to point B, but the point of it was paid for. And so now if you've got an expensive car, get it paid down. Let's look at the total debt we owe. Number five, how to do it. Do we consolidate it or do we pay it down on a payment plan? And the way we consolidate, sometimes consolidation makes good sense, where you can just kind of clean it up. You've got, for instance, you know, a bunch of equity in your house, you might consolidate it. I would never consolidate the debt unless you have got a written, working budget to where you don't go back in there, to where you're spending less than you make. Well, let's clean it up once and for all and forget about it. So what we do then is we consolidate it into one payment, use equity in the home to do that, and then levelize that payment, put it on there, and pay it down. When do we pay the house off? I don't know. Never. Or if we do, we're going to let it just pay out when it does. It might automatically do it over 15 years, that kind of thing. Or we can do something where we pay the smallest off to the largest. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about insurance. And we're going to talk about how to save money on insurance, which is going to allow you to also go in there and cut this debt down and get moving. My name is Roy Matlock.
Now, back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, if you're just tuning in, we're in our final segment, and it's four key things you got to learn if you want to get ahead financially, regardless of your income. And we're on the last one, segment four. I want to encourage you today to go to roymatlockjr.com. Couple things. We are at the home show if you're in Nashville. Down to the Music City Center, very cool things going on out there. And if you go to the website, when you go right to the website, you can type in Roy Matlock as a promo code, and you'll save, I think, half off on your ticket. Also, if you look up there, we have a money quiz that you probably want to check into. It'll kind of give you an idea of how you're doing. You answer a few questions, and you can take the Money Mistakes quiz. How about that? And so that will be something good. It's right at roymatlockjr.com. But this last segment we're going to go into is buying the right insurance. And there's three keys when it comes to insurance. The first one is understand what you need and don't need. We're going to get into that. Number two, understand how it works and what to buy. And then the third one is how to do a review on your insurance. So number one, understand what you need and don't need. Number two, understand how it works and what to buy. And the last one is how to do a review. So let's talk about some of the different insurances that are out there to begin with. The first one we think about is life insurance. Life insurance is something called income protection insurance. The idea behind life insurance is to buy income protection. That way, if something happens to you, your income would be a lump sum would be set aside to continue your income to your family or whoever that is dependent on you. Health insurance is to avoid debt. That's the best thing. Also, you know, quite frankly, I want to walk in with my health insurance card in place. I don't want to be brought in and they say, well, let's send them over here or whatever because they don't have the right health insurance. I don't want to be in a position where, worried about that. So what I want to do is make sure that I have health insurance. You need to pay for that. That's what you have to do. We pay for health insurance. We work for money. We have to decide what we do with the money we earn, and some of the things that we make money on, we will have more fun with, and others we don't. I like playing golf. I like spending money on golf, but I also have to have health insurance. One of the biggest causes of bankruptcy is health insurance. People begin to believe that it's their right. At this point, it's not. You have to pay for it. Auto and home insurance, okay? Auto and home insurance, if you own a car, you're required to have liability coverage. You're not necessarily required to have a collision or anything like that, so we'll talk about that. Homeowners insurance, clearly, most people insure for that. Personal liability is another one, disability income, which protects your income in the event something happens to where you can't work. We got long-term care. Those are things that you might need. Those are things that you might consider. So life, health, auto, home, personal liability, disability income, long-term care. Those are things that you need. Now, let me give you some that you probably don't need. I don't say probably. I'm going to be more, I would never buy. How about that? All right. I would never buy anything to do with extended warranties. I don't buy extended warranties. I mean, you know, it's funny to me that you'll go in and buy a product that's so great, and they tell you how great it is, and then after they tell you how great it is, and they say, well, do you want to have an extended warranty and so when it messes up, you've already done it? No, that's what an emergency fund is. That's what future maintenance is set up for. They make more money off extended warranties than they do off selling cars. They make more money off extended warranties than anything, all right? Now, if you are, you know, clumsy as any person on the planet, which I have to say, a few kids that tend to do that, you know, they I probably didn't come out that bad, okay, if I were to have bought, you know, like Apple Care or something like that. But do I buy it? No, I don't buy it. I mean, I don't do that kind of stuff. So no extended warranties. Let me give you some other ones that fall in that. What about cancer insurance or individual insurances like that? So the first thing we want to do is we want to know what we need, okay, and what we don't need. All right. The second thing is we need to understand how insurance works. Now, insurance is nothing more than indemnity. All right. And what does indemnify mean? Indemnify as a definition means to bring back to the same. What we do is we buy indemnity. Now, when we buy a life insurance policy and we're making, let's just say you're making $50,000 a year and your family is dependent on that 50 grand a year, then what would happen is if you were to die, that 50 grand would stop. Now, when it stops, you say, well, my family needs that income, but I passed away. So I want to leave behind an amount of money that would be enough that they could pull $50,000 a year off of it until maybe I was be 65 or whatever the number that is, which would be replacing the income. It's not making a profit, all right? It's replacing the income. So what we want to do is we want to bring back to the same. That means that if we have a wreck, we want to bring back to the same what that car is. We're not trying to make money off buying insurance, which, by the way, you can't, okay? They're not going to over-insure you. Otherwise, what would happen is everybody would, you know, wreck their car, a $20,000 car, and get $30,000 back. That would never work. And so we want to do that. So then the other thing about insurance, so you understand it, is we're throwing off risk. We're throwing our individual risk into a pool that will overall be able to manage. See, when we go in and we buy car insurance, we may never have a wreck, but we know if we did have a wreck, our car would be paid for. And so what we're doing is passing off, we're saying, look, I'll trade a premium for the security that if I wreck my car, it's going to get fixed. I'll trade a life insurance premium because of the fact that I could die, and I want to make sure my family is taken care of. And so what we're going to do is we're going to indemnify. That's what we do. So we buy it with the intention of bringing it back. Now, with that being said, that's why you don't pay for a bunch of gimmicks, okay? And what are gimmicks? Those are things where, you know, like I said, some of these, you know, pet insurance or all these kind of things, that kind of stuff. So the point being is we want to go in there and we want to figure that out, okay? So how it works, that's how that works. Then what we're going to do is we're going to look at each one of these different ones, and I'm going to give you a quick how it works, and then what do we do to do a review. So how does it work? Well, life insurance, let's start. Life insurance is income replacement. You want to have approximately 10 to 15 times your income. You want to make sure that your spouse is covered, especially if they're a non-working spouse. A lot of times we think no, but if something happened and you're a single income earner, then, hey, you've got full-time help coming. So you've got to have that. So we want to, do we insure children? Only enough for final expenses. They're not producing income. They're actually a liability. Would you insure a liability? No, I wouldn't insure a liability, so I'm not going to insure from a financial standpoint. I just have enough for final expenses. What type of life insurance should you buy? Always buy term insurance. Term insurance, it's cheaper. Consumer Reports has recommended it for 70 years. Every consumer advocate says never buy cash value life insurance. Anything that makes up the family of insurance and savings combined. There's a lot of reasons. Poor rate of return. You pay for two things. You only get one. If you die, you get the face amount, not the cash value. There's all these different things that happen with it, but that will be called whole life, universal life, variable life, anything like that. Universal life now is an indexed universal. All that stuff is bad deal. Buy term insurance. It's real simple. You pay a premium. You determine how much coverage you need and the length of time that you want to keep it. And guess what? You pay the premium. If you die, you paid $80 a month. It paid $500,000. There you go. And you calculate that, and you can tell what's going on how much you need. All right, let's go to auto and home insurance. No gimmicks. We're not going to have every single little add-on that there is, all right, which there's tons of them. What I tell people to do is you first focus on liability. Make sure you have enough liability coverage to keep you from getting sued and getting your stuff taken from you because you wrecked into a Ferrari or a Mercedes. You know, just be about your luck that if you had a wreck, you'd wreck and run into an expensive car, not a cheap one. And so the first thing you do is you raise your liability coverages. You may go, $500,000, $300,000, and then buy more liability on top of that. We'll talk about that. Second thing you do is you look at your deductibles. Ask yourself this: if I had a scratch on my car that costs $300, would I turn it into the insurance company? And the answer is usually no. And people say, why? Why would you not? I ask them, why would you? Because it'll raise my rates. All right. So why would you have a $250 deductible on your car or home insurance if you're never going to turn it in anyway? You're paying for something you're never going to use. So you might want to raise it up to $500 or $1,000 if you have homeowners insurance and you have your emergency fund set aside. Heck, you might have $2,500 insurance deductibles. I did that. Do I maintain coverages on things that are not needed? Let me give you an example. If you sell your boat, don't carry boat insurance on the boat you already sold. And that sounds simple, but if you have a car that's not worth that much money and you've got an emergency fund and it wouldn't really make that big a deal, why are you carrying collision on it when you could just take your own risk? So you become self-insured. That's what we want to do. What about personal liability insurance? Well, I tell people all the time, have an umbrella policy. I had a wreck one time, got sued. All right. $250,000 lawsuit. What, it was a joke, okay? Never should have gotten sued. But I had a multi-million dollar liability policy. And you know what? I spent an hour at the insurance company, and that was the end of it. I never had to worry about it again. Now, had I not done that, I would have had to look at my personal funds, those kind of things. So personal liability, umbrella, very important. As you accumulate assets, you want to do that. What about disability income? How does it work? Well, two things. You got two types. One is disability that you can do, you can't do anything. That's one disability. The other is specific to your industry. So let's say you're a surgeon and you can't do surgery anymore. Well, if you have that, then what's going to happen is you can get coverage that is strictly specific to that. You want to narrow that down, and then that way you're protected that way. Long-term care is something that you want to consider as you get at or near retirement age. That's going to keep you from, in the event you go in a nursing home. The key to that is you want to make sure that you self-insure yourself to some degree. Find out how much money that you have coming in every month because you have a budget set up. And then what will happen is you can buy some additional long-term care insurance. Hey, guys, I hope this has helped. Today's segment, you can go and we will have it posted on the podcast at roymatlockjr.com. I think I've got about over 30 of these right now that are actually happening. And so with that being said, we We'll be back every weekend. Thanks for listening. This is Roy Matlock Jr.